Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you, and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
Hey everyone, welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, also my partner in life, the beautiful, the hot, the ever awesome Rachel Campos Duffy.
Sean, it's that's a really nice intro. Good morning and welcome. I'm so happy to be back at our kitchen table with all of our listeners. And today it's just you and I.
Yes.
We're going to do a little ranting about what's going on in the country.
As we were preparing for today's podcast, you're like, you just want to sit and rant about what's going on? I'm like, yes, I want to rant. Because today's a big day. Today is the show trial of the century, where Democrats are going to have a hearing on January 6th, right?
About January 6th.
They want to lay out to the American people how evil the protesters were and how evil Donald Trump is, how this was an insurrection. They wanted to overthrow the government. And this is their time to actually present their evidence to the American people. And I want to take a second and talk about kind of how they've set this up and how this goes against every precedence that exists in the House. Because when you have a hearing in the House, there's a standard. Either a hearing will start at 10 o'clock in the morning or they'll start at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, sometimes hearings go a long time. You can have a hearing that'll start at 2 o'clock or even 10 o'clock and it'll bleed into the night, right? That happens all the time. But for this hearing, they're actually starting it at 8 o'clock at night,
right? Which is not normal.
Listen, this is not normal at all. And they brought in an ABC TV executive, James Goldston, to give a little pizzazz and a little life to the presentation of the American people.
Is he putting together like a package, like a video package, or what's he doing?
Well, I think he's there trying to help orchestrate the committee and how they present this, what order they may go in.
He's like producing the hearing.
That's right.
So he's not producing a video. He's literally producing the hearing.
That's what he's doing. That's what we suspect he's been brought in for. Why else bring in an ABC executive producer?
Crazy.
It is. And here's what's interesting, and you know this because I would always call you throughout the day, but members of Congress actually don't like hearings at night, right? There's a reason for that. So I'm going to pull the curtain back for you. Oftentimes, members of Congress, they'll go to dinner, they'll go to a fundraiser, they'll get together and have a beer together. They'll go back to their offices and prep for the next day.
Because the day is so packed.
So busy.
You have appointments every 15 minutes. I would look at Sean's schedule and I would get exhausted just looking at the schedule. So the evening is when they can decompress, and also they can go out and go to fundraisers and raise money. So yeah, I could see why you guys would not like evening hearings.
Unless you're trying to present to the American people a narrative.
In prime time. It's about prime time.
That's right. The most viewers possible. All the big networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, Fox Business, all
so are they all carrying
they're going to carry it live. The only one that's going to stick with their regular programming, thank God, is going to be Fox News.
But I don't understand, because you and I know lots of members of Congress who have a very good pulse on what the American people care about and are thinking about and are talking about as they're on the campaign trail. But also through our own work, we know the news cycle. We have you know, our own reporters who are on the ground talking to people, seeing what they care about. Oh, look, Valentina just walked in. We thought we had her occupied with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. But she just came in. Anyway, but we know what people care about. And it, I've not heard one poll that shows January 6th as a top issue for the Americans right now. And I've never seen the American people more angry about the economy, about crime, about what's happening at the border. I'm confused to why the Democrats would do this and put this up as their top issue, but also why the media would, you know, these networks would do it for them, because this is not a top issue.
It's not. And I think to your point, Rachel, Americans would be delighted if there's a primetime ABC executive produced hearing on gas prices.
Yeah, they could air me going out to the oil rig on
Rachel to the oil rig. That's right. Or Rachel going to the border. We care about, you know, a 15,000 person caravan of people coming across our southern border, which, by the way, if you look at the mass of that caravan, that's the number of people that's coming into the country every day. They would care about that. They care about prices at the grocery store. They care about all the things that affect their bottom line, their family budget. They would care. I think moms and dads across America care about the baby formula crisis
or the impending, as we hear, you know, there's going to be an inflation bomb coming up in the fall.
That's right.
And we've talked to people like the CEO of Goya, Bob Unawe, and others who say, oh my goodness, the food shortages, and they're going to hurt the poor, not just in our country, but around the world. We're going to see, you know, rise in famine, actually. I mean, these are massive problems going on. And by the way, we still have a war in Ukraine for which we just sent $40 billion. We just had a shooting in Uvalde that the country is still, you know, reeling from. I'm in shock.
I am too. And what concerns me even more is there's a forever precedence in the House where, and it goes back to our founding, where each party gets the opportunity to place their own members on committees. So if you look at the Ways and Means Committee, that's a tax writing committee. There's more Democrats than Republicans because Democrats have the majority. So they get more seats on Ways and Means, but Republicans get to put members on Ways and Means as well. And how do those members get on the committee? The party itself decides what member sits on what committee. Nancy Pelosi doesn't decide what Republicans sit on
Kevin
committees.
Kevin McCarthy does.
And Kevin McCarthy doesn't decide what Democrats sit on a committee. So for the first time in this Congress, Nancy Pelosi has changed that rule.
First time in congressional history that this has happened?
Since history, absolutely. She first started with saying, you know what? I don't like Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't like what Marjorie Taylor Greene said before she was elected to Congress. I don't like her attitude. And so even though Kevin McCarthy and Republicans have placed her on a committee, I don't like it. And I'm going to vote to take her off. We in the majority.
That was not this January 6th committee. This was a different committee.
This was a different committee, right? Yeah. So that was the first time she did it. But now she did it with the January 6th committee. She said, you know what? I don't think Republicans are really interested in finding the truth about January 6th. And therefore, I'm not going to let Kevin McCarthy put Jim Jordan, Jim Banks. I'm not going to let them put Republicans on the committee to investigate what happened, to have a bipartisan effort in the House, which, by the way, happens for every committee. When I was on the select committee with Marsha Blackburn on the sale of baby body parts, we put Democrats on that select committee, and every single one of them tried to thwart our work to find out how the abortion industry was selling little baby aborted body parts for a massive profit in what universities and businesses.
Look at how Valentina, in the one time she chimed in, was this issue.
That's right.
Good for you,
thank
Valentina.
You, Valentina. But this was, they thwarted us, but they still had a right to be on the committee.
Right.
And we had a great debate. We had to be better on the committee to debate them on this really serious issue. And what concerns me, Rachel, is this was not about finding the truth about January 6th, the good, the bad, the ugly. Who was at fault?
What role did the FBI play? Why don't we know the pipe? Who placed the pipe bombs? Why is there no, you know, information on that? I mean, there's so many things that are questionable. Why does our news keep saying that five Capitol policemen died? I heard that the other day on the news. Yeah. They didn't die. I mean, it was a Trump supporter who was shot dead by a Capitol policeman who probably shouldn't have been a Capitol policeman because he had been, you know, negligent with his own firearm in the past. All of these things. So who is on the committee from the Republican side that Nancy has handpicked?
So what, I want to make one other point and we'll talk about that. But Brian Sicknick, if you recall, he was a Capitol police officer.
Yes.
Who the news media, again, they had to have known this was false from the very beginning. They said he had passed away because someone had
hit him with like a fire extinguisher
or then someone had sprayed bear spray at him and he had died at the Capitol because of injuries sustained in the protest. But we later learned that he died at home from natural causes. And this was months later that we learned this. But that fit the narrative that this was a violent riot, a violent insurrection. And so...
So, Sean, can you grab Valentina? Because she's tearing up your notes over there.
She is. It's a lot of fun. Listen, I apologize.
Those are his notes for tonight, for when he has to host the show. And they're all crumpled right now.
Listen, you sit at the kitchen table. That's what you get with us. Here's the real problem. I put Mickey Mouse Clubhouse on the computer and I didn't put it on the TV because I couldn't find the remote control for the TV.
Which is so typical in our house.
I know, we can't find anything.
All right, so continue. So Sicknick, I'm going to grab the papers while you tell the Sicknick story.
So this is, they try to drive a certain narrative. And if you have Republicans who are going to ask questions about, well, if Donald Trump was supporting an insurrection, why did Donald Trump authorize up to 20,000 National Guardsmen to go to the Capitol? Why didn't the mayor of D.C. call those National Guard up? Why didn't Nancy Pelosi call those guards up? Why don't we have all the video that was shot? Why hasn't that all been released? Does that not fit the narrative? I think those are fair questions.
How do you have a primetime hearing when you're setting up the primetime hearing? You're Nancy Pelosi, but you've blocked hours of footage that the Republicans have demanded to see. And you say no one can see that footage. And why does no one care about the pipe bombs? I mean, that was part of the story.
Right, right. Why hasn't the FBI been able to find the people who set the pipe bombs? I mean, it's fascinating, right? And I think it's important because if you're confident in your argument, if you're confident in your narrative, if you're confident in the debate, you don't mind someone else stepping into the ring with you,
sure,
and having that debate with you. But if you're not confident, if you're telling a false story, you're afraid of all the truth coming out because all the truth may not fit your narrative, then you have to silence that person. You have to prevent them from getting in the ring with you, which is exactly what Democrats have done on January 6th. Now, there are two Republicans that are sitting on the committee. One is Adam Kinzinger. Adam is a friend of mine.
Republicans in quote. I know Adam's your friend.
Adam's a friend of mine. We came in to Congress in 2010 together. We disagree on this. We've talked about it over dinner. It's been heated with him because we really disagree on what's happening, but he believes this. And the other is Liz Cheney.
Bad lady.
The issue, though, is that Nancy Pelosi selected those two Republicans. The Republicans, Kevin McCarthy and the leadership team, did not select our Republican members to serve on the committee. And that's the problem with this. And so, again, this is going to be a show trial for everyone to see. But just know that this is a political trial. This is not about truth. This is not about bringing facts out. This is about presenting a political argument in primetime. And
no, but you know what? It's more than that. Why are they continuing to pursue this? They, in prime time, they want to change the conversation. And here's the question, Sean. Will this work? Because every day, people are passing the... I mean, I've never... You know, when we used to gas up our cars... By the way, I would say 15 to 1, I gas up the car next to Sean. Like, I hate gassing up the car, so it's mostly Sean. I don't pay attention as much even then. You know, I never really paid attention to how much the gas was. Now, yesterday, I had to gas up the car on the way to Paloma's event. Our car, it was $135, Sean, to fill up the SUV. I see. And I went to a gas station in Boonton, which the kids were like, Dad says this is the cheap one.
I went to that one, and it was
still so expensive. And the kids were like, Mom, did that say $135? Yep, $135. This, you and I can complain about it, and we don't like paying it, but we can put food on the table. There are people who cannot put food on the table now. Right now, I just read an article that AAA said that they have more people stranded because what's happening is people aren't filling up the whole tank. because they don't have the money to fill up the whole tank. They don't have the 135. So they're putting $20 in or $30 in, and then they end up getting stranded on the roads or seeing this increase in people getting stranded on the road because they've run out of gas because they couldn't afford it. They couldn't afford to fill the tank. This is massive. And I don't think that this BS about January 6th is going to change the conversation about what's happening at the grocery store, what's happening at the gas pump, and people, by the way, on fixed incomes who are struggling to figure out, am I going to pay for my medicine this month or am I going to buy, you know, my food?
My groceries? Am I going to ride my bike? Can I get a scooter? Do I get a motorcycle? Do I get something that can get me to work cheaper that I can actually afford that's less than a Tesla? That's the conversation. But I think, was it Bear Rabbit who said, don't throw me into the briar patch. Please don't throw me into the briar patch. Was it Bear Rabbit?
I don't know this story very well, Sean.
But we went on the, we go on the ride at Disney, but we don't go to Disney any longer. But that's the old Disney ride, right?
We're going to go back to Disney. I'm sorry, I cannot put up with this boycott on Disney World. I say cancel Disney Plus, but...
Disney World is Disney World. Sorry. That's a different conversation, different show.
Yeah, but as you look at little Valentina,
my point with that though, I don't want to give those radicals one of my hard earned dollars. I don't. And I love my kids, but I hate Disney more than I love my kids to go to Disney. So there you go. But that's not my point. My point is something different.
No one's
going
to go to Disney. I think that
Republicans are sitting back and going, I can't believe how out of touch and how stupid Democrats are as every single American.
So do you think when you talk to members of Congress, I know you're just, we're in DC. When you talk to them, are they looking at this trial going, oh, this is hilarious. Like this is actually bad politics for the Democrats, or are they like, whatever?
Well, I think they're outraged in how this whole thing has been set up. They're outraged because this is going to ruin longstanding precedent in the House because Kevin McCarthy is going to do the same thing back to Democrats because you can't have one rule when Democrats in power are in power.
And then we go back to the standard. Republicans do that all the time. Republicans.
No, they're not going to this time. But I think what they're saying is we can't believe it because every single American cares about
gas. You think this will politically backfire? You think this will politically backfire? Or do you think people will get distracted and go, oh, white supremacy?
No. So as you have
insurrection,
as you have the administration and Democrats basically saying there's nothing we can do about inflation. There's nothing we can do about the border. There's nothing more that we can do on gas prices. But let me tell you what I can do. I can have a hearing on January 6th. Americans don't care about January 6th. They go, if you're focused on January 6th, you're not focused on the fact that I can't pay for my gas. You're not focused on the fact that I can't get baby formula. And you nursed most of our babies, but
we had to with Valentina add formula to my breast milk because she wasn't getting enough calories.
I can't imagine being a parent right now and not being able to get baby formula and feed your baby.
Oh my gosh. She had enough problems when she was born with all her issues and then to not be able to feed. I mean, the anxiety level for me would be through the roof. By the way, you know, you had you were hosting a Larry Kudlow show this week and you had on Elise Stefanik, who brought up such a great point because people forget about rural America. This is a massive problem for rural Americans when you have a shortage of something as important and life-saving as formula. You know, if you can't find formula at your local grocery store, you've got to drive an hour. And if there's not any there, you've got to drive another hour to another store. And by the way, gas prices are through the roof. So you've just, you know, spent how many dollars trying to find formula? I mean, for people in rural areas who have to go the distance, this is absolutely, and you can't just go, I'm not going to go get the formula.
Or I'd say you're driving half an hour, 45 minutes to Walmart. And if you don't have formula and you drive half an hour, 45 minutes home, you got to go back the next day and see if there's formula.
Or try it in another town.
And try another town. That's right.
It's absolutely outrageous. But
so I to that
but
point.
But you think this is going to backfire?
I think this is going to blow up in their face. I don't think this moves the political needle. I think it just shows how out of touch they are, that they don't care about the issues.
I think that's true too. But sometimes we've seen Americans bite the bait of, like, you know, getting distracted by that shiny ball of racism and white supremacy, and we've seen them. But I think you're right, Sean, the situation is different right now because so many people are hurting.
And it's one thing if everything's going great in America and you focus on this, but when everything is going wrong, focus on what's going wrong. And even if you can't fix the problem, you got to try to fix the problem. And when Democrats aren't even trying to fix the problem, they're not holding hearings on inflation. Gas prices, on inflation. Yeah. Those things don't happen. So you go, do you not understand what I'm going through?
So it's interesting because you and I were talking a little earlier about what, why we think I mean, because it politically speaking, this hearing is dumb, but also politically speaking, not fixing these problems seems really dumb. And you scratch your head and you go, I've never seen an administration not care about gas prices. This is my life. I mean, that's never been the case. Democrat, Republican. Why is that? Why is that? And it's so interesting. You get a hint of it when you saw Joe Biden on Jimmy Kimmel this week. So on Jimmy Kimmel's show, Joe Biden came on. He got a softball interview from, of course, his big supporter, Jimmy Kimmel. And Jimmy Kimmel kind of sympathized with Joe Biden and said, hey, you know, I feel bad because you got these gas prices. And every day, you know, it's like a billboard for people reminding them of, you know, inflation and gas prices. And you can't, you know, and Joe Biden had this excuse. Of course, he said it was the fault of the oil companies and they don't want to produce, which makes no sense at all. But whatever, the audience bought it. But then he said, look, I get it. People are upset about the prices of food and gasoline, but there are other expenses. And he talked about prescription drugs and he talked about childcare. And he said, we're helping you to lower those costs. And here's what I think is happening, Sean. What they're doing is they want to impoverish us. This is an administration that is deliberately trying to impoverish us and make us dependent, because every solution they have is not to lower prices so we can be, you know, financially independent and live our lives. All of it, all of their solutions are subsidies for prescriptions, subsidies, government subsidies for, you know, childcare, cancel student debt loan. All of it is meant to make us more and more dependent on them, and therefore they become more powerful.
The less money you have, less freedom you have. And as you start to feel poor because of Joe Biden's policies, then he steps in and says, I'm not going to actually fix it. I'm going to offer you these free things. I'm going to offer you these
off the government table. I'm going to offer you crumbs off the government table.
And for those crumbs, they take your freedom. Because if you rely on the government for your food, for your housing, for your healthcare, they control you. You are not a free man and woman any longer. They are in charge of your life. And that's what they want. They want more power for themselves and less freedom for you. And that's what this is all about. We'll have more of this conversation after this.
Did you know that every major diaper company either financially or vocally supports abortion? If that appalls you and you're looking to support a baby brand that aligns with your pro-life, pro-family views, then Every Life is your solution. Every Life firmly believes that regardless of where someone is from, what they look like, or whether they were planned or unplanned, every baby is a miracle from God worthy of love, protection, and celebration. Every Life offers high-performing, supremely soft, premium diapers and wipes delivered right to your doorstep. Their diapers are crafted without fragrances, dyes, lotions, latex, parabens, or phthalates. And you can feel good knowing that every purchase with Every Life contributes to changing lives through their support of pro-life organizations and pregnancy resource centers. Every Life is not just changing diapers, they're changing lives. Visit everylife.com to learn more. That's everylife.com. And don't forget to use promo code Duffy10 for an exclusive 10% discount on your first order today.
We've been looking at the polls a lot, and I'm really grateful that Fox and Friends has been highlighting so many of these incredible polls of where Hispanics are, politically speaking, and how the Democrat Party has basically lost them, at least in this election cycle. I've never seen numbers like this. It's absolutely astounding. No demographic is more disappointed, more upset with the Biden administration from a data polls perspective than Hispanics. 60%. Say they are dissatisfied with President Biden. Almost 60% say they will not vote for President Biden, that they will vote for a Republican. We've never seen this before. And I'll tell you the reason why is Hispanics have seen this before. You know, Nicolas Maduro, and on so many levels, they've seen the corruption, but they've seen this kind of deliberate mismanagement of the economy and handing off. I mean, a lot of this green energy crap, Sean, is about paying off their high donors who are creating so many of these, you know, solar panels and have these deals with China to create all this electric stuff. All of this is paying off their friends. All of this is about making us more dependent. You and I had a podcast, which if you haven't seen it, our listeners can go back and get. We interviewed, if you recall, Sean, two Venezuelans.
That's right.
And it was a powerful, powerful podcast. And at one point we asked them, when did you know that things were really going down in Venezuela? Because as you know, Sean, I lived in Venezuela when Venezuela was still a wonderful country to live in. It takes a while for the degradation and the dysfunction to really start to impact. And I asked them, "What? When did you know that it was going down?" It's okay. It's all right. She's upset about what happened in Venezuela as well. I know. Nicolas Maduro, he ruined everything there. It started with Chavez. Anyway, and they said, we knew it was going down when the justice system, we saw the economic stuff, but then when the justice system became corrupted, when there was two tiers of justice, when one side was controlling who could go to jail and who didn't. And don't you feel like we're in that situation from the January 6th hearing that we're seeing the way those protesters were treated versus the ones who actually caused death and destruction in the summer of 2020 to, you know, everything that we see with prosecutors, which I know drives you nuts as a former prosecutor.
But not only that, Rachel, so you have the premise of the January 6th show trial tonight. Which is, this was an insurrection. They were trying to overthrow the American government, overthrow the election, which, by the way, you look at the video and you see, you know, again, I'm not defending people who went to the Capitol.
You love the Capitol.
I love the Capitol. I cried when I went in the first time, and I was upset that people would bust in and they would do that. But if you look at what they actually did, if we're being fair to them, so many people were like, just walking through the rope lines. Touring. They're doing a tour of the Capitol.
And why did the Capitol Police let them in? I've gone to the Capitol. You have to go through a metal detector. Yeah. You have to go. I mean, why were they just let in? That is the most bizarre thing. That should be the top issue in the hearing tonight.
I believe that if you commit a crime, you should be prosecuted. But, you know, you shouldn't be a political prisoner and held, you know, in jail for, you know, a year plus. I don't think that makes sense. But
by the way, they're a young one. Some of these people who have been committed suicide because they've been.
But I think what else is interesting, Rachel, and I don't think the media and the Democrats want to talk about, when we talk about insurrection, overthrowing an election, that's the premise of January 6th. But that's actually what Democrats tried to do. Hillary Clinton and the Russia collusion, it was a hoax. It was made up by the Democrat campaign. It was made up by Hillary Clinton and her team. And they fed it to the FBI. They fed it to the media. And the media drove a story on Russia collusion. Donald Trump is an agent of Russia. Donald Trump has sold America out to the Russians. Donald Trump won the election only because the Russians interfered and helped get him elected. All of that is false, but they spent 4 years bashing, demonizing, chastising Donald Trump, and they impeached him twice because of this Russia collusion narrative. They were trying to take out a duly elected president.
Yes.
And it wasn't just Democrats. It was the FBI, it was the DOJ, and it was the media all working together to undo an election. And so when you talk about an insurrection, when you talk about, you know, someone trying to subvert democracy, they were trying to subvert democracy. It was a lot more sophisticated than the average American who came from small town America and went to the Capitol.
That weird Chewbacca guy that was like, you know, sitting in. I mean, listen, I don't like that he went into the House chamber, but who has more power? All of those forces that were colluding that you just laid out? Or the Chewbacca guy. I mean, give me a break. And by the way,
where are the hearings on, you know, the Democrat and media and FBI and DOJ attempt to overthrow Donald Trump's presidency based on a complete lie? And by the way, the FBI knew that, the DOJ knew that, the media had to know that. And I remember going on, I did a lot of CNN then, and I was in Congress. I went on all the time. And I kept pushing back on this narrative that they drove every single day. And what I found fascinating, Rachel, was that they talked about Donald Trump and Russia collusion, not like a couple times a day, every single hour of every hour of programming, 7 days a week, they talked about Russia collusion. And I was amazed to go, how do you guys continue to come up with a new narrative or a new point that you could talk about it all day long? And they did.
And then, by the way, a couple of weeks ago when Durham proved that through his hearing and through the testimony in his testimony in the court of the court trial of Sussman, one of the, was it Robbie Mook who came out and right. said, oh yeah, we knew it was, you know, not legit. And by the way, Hillary knew too. When all of that stuff came out, we went through at Fox to see how much that was covered by the media. 0 seconds given to the uncovering of the hoax.
So they spend 4 years. We're not talking about 4 minutes, 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 months, 4 years on Russia collusion. And then they're exposed as they covered a hoax. Some of them received Pulitzer Prizes for their reporting in the media.
I think Trump's suing right now to because he wants those Pulitzer Prizes removed. So he's suing. Is he suing the organization that puts out the Pulitzer Prizes?
I don't know.
Something like that. I read something about it. Sounds like him.
But again, that was, and it comes back to this idea of most Americans probably don't know that it was a hoax. They don't know that, you know, the Democrats have now admitted that this was all made up by Hillary Clinton. They still think that Donald Trump colluded with Russia. They think it's an insurrection on January 6th. And it just goes to show you the power of the media and the narrative that they can drive and how effective Democrats can be in this fundamental transformation of America when they have the media on their team amplifying and reiterating their message over and over again. It's a really powerful tool. But that's why alternative media matters, being able to talk about issues that are truthful, that are outside of, you know, the leaders of big media, but also why it's so important then for Democrats to shut down free speech, to say, I can't let you talk about Russia collusion and January 6th and vaccines and masks. I can't let you get in the way with your conversation and your speech on my effort to transform America and drive a certain narrative into the American people's minds. I can't let that happen. So I have to work overtime to shut you down.
Yeah, that's all they want to do. They want to suppress any kind of dissent. By the way, I think that Senator Josh Hawley came out with a whistleblower who exposed a letter that was in an internal memo. Because Biden tried to say, and his administration tried to say, no, the disinformation board was about foreign. We wanted to, you know,
foreign disinformation.
And then the whistleblower sent the memo to Josh Hawley, who then exposed it and showed that, no, they were after domestic dissent. So this is, again, mark my words, Hispanics are onto this. They've seen this before. They've seen this kind of censorship before. They've seen this kind of authoritarianism before. The corruption that you see with Hunter Biden and the Biden family and all of that is stuff we've seen with the Castros and the Chavezes and the Maduros of the world. The Bidens are the Castros and the Maduros and the Chavezes of American politics. This kind of inflation and dysfunction and economic pain, Hispanics have seen it before. That's why they came here. And they're looking at this going, what the heck is happening to America? I'll tell you what, Sean, one last thing. When I was at the border, a group of guys had just, I mean, they were wet. They just had crossed over the Rio Grande. They were sitting on the edge. National Guard was waiting for Border Patrol to come pick them up. And I got a chance to talk to them before Border Patrol got there. Because if Border Patrol got there, I wouldn't be allowed to talk to them for the most part. So I started talking to them. We had an interesting conversation about where they came from, what they were doing. They were Cubans, by the way. Most of the people that I saw that day were Cubans. And
it was a Cuban day.
It was a Cuban,
Cuban
day.
Illegal
it was a
day.
Cuban day. And you have a heart for Cubans. Leaving that kind of authoritarianism. I believe, by the way, that they're letting some of these guys that are dissidents leave because they want to have less troublemakers on the island. But anyway, that said, I said, well, why are you coming? He said, it's really expensive where we live. And I was like, it's pretty expensive here right now, too. You know, the conditions that people are leaving in Latin America are very rapidly becoming the conditions here. And so this is why, full circle, this hearing, Sean, you believe will backfire. Because what Americans care about, whether you're Hispanic, Black, White, Asian, is the economy. We'll have more of this conversation after this.
You're right. You mentioned the Hispanic support. Only 26% of Hispanics support Joe Biden. And I mean, this is like a 60% voting block for Democrats, and only 26% of Hispanics now support Joe Biden. And that's going to bleed into Democrat House and Senate races this fall. But what I think matters too is just this week, Joe Biden's approval rating, it's been at 42-43%, really low. But just in the last week, it's now fallen down to 39%. So really? it's dropped again. And so
where is that historically, like, well, say with Trump or with Bush?
Listen, Trump was low at 44%. But you can get down to 45, but then that's only a brief time. Then you pop up to 48, maybe 50, you're doing great. But 39% is really cataclysmic. Bad. And so I believe, and so do you, I believe in having a limited tax base, right? Let's lower taxes. Let's streamline regulation. Let's give people more freedom. And if we do that, they'll innovate, they'll create, they'll start businesses, there'll be more jobs, there'll be a growing middle class. And because of that economic activity, more money actually comes into the federal coffers. I believe that with the tax cuts with Donald Trump that we did in 2018, that's actually what happened.
Yeah.
We got greater growth. We got more revenue into the federal coffers. We had a booming economy. Donald Trump streamlined regulation. Our ideas actually worked for the American people. However, if we did that, Rachel, and those ideas didn't work, I wouldn't be such an ideologue that I go, I have to stick with this policy because I'm an ideologue, even though it's not working and even though it's not going to work.
Because there is a percentage of people, the kind of people that love AOC, and there's probably about 30%, 30-some% of Americans who are like that, who actually want us to become a dependent society, a socialist society, a communist type society, dependent on the government with everything centralized from the top down. They hate small business owners. So many of the people who were at the January 6th protest were small business owners who were absolutely devastated and crushed. And by the way, if you look at all of these communist revolutions, the first group of people they have to take out are independent small business owners, because those are the most wily, hardest to control people. And they actually demonized them and tried to make the people think that they were bad people and they were, you know, evil capitalists and all this kind of stuff. This is what they do. This is what happens. And so, listen, I think there is definitely a percentage of people who believe that we should become more of a socialist communist country. And I think that the Democrats have a very, they have a lot of optimism for the future, because I believe they go, yeah, we'll get crushed in this midterm. We may even lose the presidency, but Barack Obama has put in the administrative state. It's there, it's permanent, it's not leaving. It's not impacted by elections. And that's why they've basically put in the Green New Deal through the administrative state. AOC has won. And you said this the other day on television, Sean, the most powerful woman in Congress is AOC. That your gas prices are AOC. She actually popularized this and made it feasible in some way in the Democrat Party ideologically. And then they couldn't get the votes, but they did it through the administrative state. And so there's a bunch of young kids who think just like AOC, and they're coming through the university system. They're all, you know, you saw the Harvard poll that came out, like 90% of all the kids at Harvard are hardcore liberals. Yeah. These are the people that are going to be running our country. And that's the hope the Democrats have for the future.
It is the hope they have for the future. But again, to my point too, it's like that they wouldn't change course on oil and gas. They wouldn't change course on crime. They wouldn't change course on the border. They're so ideologues that they won't look and say these policies aren't working. The American people hate the policy. I better change course. They're such believers that they're going to stick on this course. And again, even have the hearing tonight, but also stick with the policies through the election and agree to get crushed is actually shocking to me. And it shows there's a lack of care for the people you represent.
Lack of compassion. Absolutely.
And more of a care for your ideological beliefs, which that's not why you should run. You should run to serve people, make their lives actually better. And so again, this is
intentional, Sean. It's hard. I know it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it, but it truly is intentional on their part.
Because we're riffing and rolling, can I make one last point?
Sure. Again,
you look at the shooter, the guy that went to Justice Kavanaugh's house with a gun, with a knife, with zip ties, with duct tape, to actually murder Justice Kavanaugh
and his family, probably.
You look at the firebombing of a pro-life facility in Wisconsin, and there's pro-life facilities around the country
there's another state that had one.
They've been attacked. You look at the BLM riots where buildings are burned, they're looted, people are beat up.
That was peaceful, Sean.
That violence is absolutely okay because Democrats agree with the movement behind that violence, right? But if you're a Republican who protests at the Capitol and you don't beat anybody up, that's now white supremacy. That's now racism. That's now violence.
And worthy of a prime time
show trial.
Show trial. Right.
And that is the art of saying my violence is worthy. And if you're violent, we are going to condemn you. And as conservatives, any violence, whether it comes
political
from the right
is wrong.
Or the left, we always condemn it. And Democrats will condemn conservative violence, but never liberal violence. And I think Americans have to stand together, whether Democrat or Republican, and condemn all political violence and say, you know what, the place for these conversations, the way we resolve these conflicts is by debate, by voting, by, you know, having an argument on issues. It's not with guns. It's not with fists. It's not with firebombs. That's not the way we do it in America. And if anyone tries that, we all condemn it. You don't get a gold medal because, you know, you're protesting outside of Judge Kavanaugh's house, by the way, violating the law. We're going to condemn it because we don't believe that any protester should try to influence any judge or any jury. That's why it's against the law. And they're like, no, but I agree with the protesters and I hate Kavanaugh. So I'm going to say that law shouldn't matter. Let them go protest.
This is the two-tiered justice system that the Venezuelans warned us about.
That we're on. And so again, I wanted to cover this January 6th trial with you today, Rachel, and kind of it feeds into so many other themes that are happening in the country. If you want to tune in tonight, feel free. Just know that this is for show. This has not been a bipartisan effort. You're not getting the truth. You're getting politics tonight given to you by ABC, NBC, CBS, and the Democrat Party, and an ABC executive producer. That's what you're going to get. And if you want to see the show, great. But if you want to see the good commentary on it, check out Tucker Carlson, who's going to be doing his show and talking about the show trial as well, not covering it live, but giving commentary on the bogus proceedings that are happening tonight in the House.
It might actually bring up more questions to me. Maybe after the show trial, there will be more American pressure on, you know, hey, FBI, you went after a bunch of parents for being domestic terrorists. How about finding the guys who supposedly put the pipe bombs in front of the DNC offices and the RNC offices? So these are all things that we need to find out about, but we'll just have to see how it all goes. See if it backfires on them, Sean.
I have to believe
that American people do not care about this. They care about the gas.
They don't care about
the food prices.
I'm just going to make one comment as we close this out. You can tell that we are parents of nine, and we apologize because Valentina's been hanging out all podcast.
Valentina, do you want to say something?
And parents who can actually focus on a conversation and ignore their ninth child, it's impressive. Most parents would be distracted. We're like, oh yeah, that's fine.
I wonder if our listeners are distracted by it, or they're like, oh, we totally understand this kind of background noise.
You mean your nanny didn't take her? We don't have there's no childcare in this house. It's us. Nine kids.
Yeah.
All in. That's why I'm getting so gray. But listen, I want to thank you all for joining us. This is a really important conversation. These are important times, and this is an important part of the Democrat narrative that has to be exposed. And, you know, to sit around and talk about this, I think is incredibly important, Rachel. And
yeah,
thanks for, you know, let me sit at your kitchen table, or you sit at my kitchen table, or it's our kitchen table.
You know what? I do think that it's really important to have your insight on just how somebody who's seen how the House runs. There's been so many unprecedented things, you know, from metal detectors being placed before members of Congress could walk through the House, to all these members on the Democrat side who to this day are not voting in person. These are things that never happened in America before. They're still voting from their homes.
Proxies, yeah.
By proxy vote. You know, there's so many rules and precedents and traditions and standards that have been broken by Nancy Pelosi in order to do what she wants to do. And this is just another one of them. And so it's really great to have your perspective on that,
Thank
Sean. If you hadn't been in the House, we might have thought this was normal. And I think so many things over the last 2 years have been normal. So not normal. And it's important for us as Americans to call out and go, we want things to return to the way they were, and to tell people that this is not normal, to not normalize this new political environment that the Democrats have created for us, both in government and just sort of nationwide.
We can always improve America, but stop trying to wreck it so you can rebuild it. Enough,
stop trying to fundamentally transform America. We liked it before. We just did that episode on Top Gun. We kind of want to return to the 80s. It was kind of nice back then, wasn't it?
It is. And we're going to do coming up. We talked
this is going to be great.
How Tom Cruise looks really good at what, 60 years old. And
no, he doesn't look good. He looks amazing.
Okay, he's amazing. Whatever. Just whatever. But
you, Sean, like, you've been so impressed. You've been like, what is Sean? What is Tom Cruise doing?
Is he taking some kind of hormone? Is he just working out really well? Is he eating well? So
does he have a special chef, macrobiotic diet?
We're gonna bring in a doctor who specializes in sort of health and staying youthful.
Restorative health, anti-aging, you know, the kind of doctor that all these really rich celebrities would go to turn back the clock. So we are going to answer the question
that none of us can afford.
What is Tom Cruise doing?
We're going to get the advice for free. How do we all look like Tom Cruise? How do we put a little work in?
This is a great topic. I was so excited for this.
Yeah, that's coming up. I believe we're going to do it next week or the week after. We got to get our doctor booked. So that's coming up. It'll be a great conversation. And again, I so enjoy sitting down and chatting with you and sometimes Valentina when she's not so loud.
Yeah, Valentina was more interested in us than Mickey Mouse. So, all right. We thank you for joining us at the kitchen table. If you like this podcast, we'd love if you would rate or review it at wherever you rate or review your podcast. And we'll look forward to seeing you around our kitchen table next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This is Jimmy Failla, inviting you to join me for Fox Across America, where we'll discuss every single one of the Democrats' dumb ideas. Just kidding. It's only a 3-hour show. Listen live at noon Eastern or get the podcast at foxacrossamerica.com.